You've stopped in at the Guidepost, brought to you by the American Saltwater Guides Association. Stock up on gear, grab a coffee at the counter, and get ready to hear incredible fish stories from the best captains on the East Coast and thought-provoking conversations with stakeholders and policymakers working to protect these fisheries. This podcast is presented by Costa Sunglasses. So, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Guidepost. This is our next installment of Shop Talk. We got Tony, Kyle, Scotty, and Cody on here, and we're going to go with a theme because of the holidays, and it's going to be called, you know, normally I write a policy blog, kind of satirical one, with a wish list for Santa Claus. And this podcast, well, I don't know where it's going to go, but the theme of it is going to be what we want for Christmas. So Cody, I see you got our new, Cobia hat. So you got everything you wanted for Christmas.
This was number two on my list. I also do wear a size brand new Contender CV. So hoping for that, but if that doesn't come through, or, you know, some brand new bay boat, a Cobia hat is number one B on my list.
So Cody's shooting for the moon, but me, Scotty, and Kyle are married with children. So I think our bar is set insanely low. So the hat, your one B is our one A. Has any married guy with kids on here actually gotten anything for Christmas in the last couple of years?
I just ask for the same thing every year, somebody to be nice to me. Those kids beat me up at Christmas, man. Life too.
Unattainable, Scotty. You should go for socks or a hat. We'll send you a hat.
I love it. Then the brim first, if it looks like Cody's.
Oh, Kyle, where do you stand?
I mean, my son's 3.5. This is going to be like the first Christmas that he actually like is starting to get it.
Yeah, gets it. So, yeah.
Of course, it's like none of it is about me. You know.
Yeah.
We're all so lucky to be in this fishing world. I mean, we all. You know, we're living our passion. I don't have a lot of things on my list, to be honest. So it's all about Micah.
Yeah. You know what the best part about like 3 to 8 or 9 is that like as soon as Thanksgiving's over, everything that they do that's a little messed up, Santa's watching. Santa's like, you don't want to be on that bad list. You want to be on that naughty list for Santa. I used to make my kid have multiple nervous breakdowns a day.
Tony's been using me that with ASGA work. I'm like, dude, I'll send an email in a minute. He's like, Santa's watching. I'm like, all right, I'm almost 30, but it still does make me send the email.
Yeah, it makes you think, though. It makes you stop, doesn't it?
We were out at some music the other night, and some complete stranger went up to Micah. She crouches down, and she's like, son, are you on the good list or the bad list? I was like, Micah's like, he doesn't even, not even aware of this list yet.
Micah's like, dad, mom,
lady,
help. Yeah. Help me. Yeah. Scotty, your kids are past that threshold, right?
Yeah. They just recently stopped believing in Santa. So I thought it would be cheaper. Now it's like, oh, he can actually doesn't need to get that down the chimney. So I'll ask for all this giant expensive stuff. So
yeah, I'd like a 69 Camaro, dad. Dude, my kid is like, unfortunately for me, has picked the only two things that are more expensive than fishing to be passionate about. And it's the pain is setting in. And then, like, I'm starting to get hit up for, like, dad, the school's going to Scotland for spring break. I would like to go with them. And you're just like, holy shit. Like, that doesn't sound, first of all, I would like to go to Scotland myself. That does not sound cheap. Yeah. So it's like, oh, my God. And then, you know, what do you want for Christmas? I want a I want to go to so many weeks of racing sailing camp. And I'm like, well, I know that's not cheap, you know? So dude, it gets, yeah, the Legos and putting stuff together the night before. Sheesh. It's kind of,
you look back so fondly at like when you were a little kid, how certain things, that was everything. Like your gold star for that year is you just wanted X. And then like you grow up as an adult and you realize like some of those things are like a $60 thing you could go buy off the shelf right now. And you're like, it's freaking junk. I would never waste a dollar on it. But as a little kid, man, like there'd just be that one thing. I remember, I think I was somewhere around like 7, but there was like an animatronic golden retriever that had like a little thing that you could control it with. And for like the entire year, that was all I wanted. And then I remember getting it. I think that would actually might be the worst Christmas gift I ever got. My parents knew it was on. That was the big thing for me. That, and then I got it and you just pressed a button and it like walked 3 feet and barked. And I was like, now what? It was very defeating. I think I was expecting it to be a live dog. And then when it could not turn corners, I was like, oh shit, I've been duped. But for a year, that was my guiding star of behavior and performance.
So wait. So let's, as the young kids say, let's vibe on this for a second. I could talk for hours about the worst gift I ever got, but the one that sticks out in my mind was the best. So I'm looking at Scotty in the video and I'm thinking that he's got a pretty good one or two, the worst gift ever. Before we get into the good gift, the Christmas spirit gift, Scotty's got it. Man, I can see the twinkle in his eye. Scotty, lay
it we on. Might have to mute it. Scotty's it might be illegal.
Yeah.
Probably this damn dog, the second dog we got. Come here, Hambone. He's a piece of work, man. It was kind of a joint present for both of us, because like you said, it's about the kids. My wife and I were like, well, let's just buy ourselves another dog. He came from the pound, and we did the DNA test on him because he's so oddly shaped. He looks like a Malaysian fruit bat in the face. He turns out he's and this is illegal in most states up north, he's a half Chihuahua and a half German short hair pointer. So the pointer was the aggressor in that one. He's just a horrible dog, man. He's not mean or anything, but he's been in the emergency vet like 7 or 8 times. He ate a roach off the street and got severely stoned off that, and they couldn't do anything for that. He ate half a chocolate cake, you know, Pop Tops. He's a buzzard, man. He's the worst animal.
That's because his DNA, his genetics, is just alphabet soup. It's just a mix of things that should not be.
There's no double helix there.
Well, dude, a short-haired pointer's wound about as tight as a Chinese watch, right? Yeah, and then you get a Chihuahua in there, and you got problems, man.
It's like 30 pounds. It's hands down the worst thing I ever got.
You got problems, Kyle.
You know,
understanding how much you love your mom, you and I talk right. all the time.
This right, is, yeah, you know, but you guys, I think all of you know my mom.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what?
Ms. Schaefer, this is not a reflection on you, ma'am. We all love you very much.
That's what.
And Merry Christmas and Happy Thanksgiving.
And I think that's what makes it hurt even more when you get a terrible gift from such a sweet lady.
Yes.
No, I remember I was like 10, and you know, that's like peak Christmas. And you know, you're looking forward to everything so much. I got these pair of boots. Simple, would have been a great gift. They were like a size 12. I remember literally having these boots in my closet for the next 10 years to finally grow into them. I think when I graduated high school, you know, I'm a little boy. I'm a 10-year-old, you know, like, I mean,
they're like coming up to your crotch, and, like, oh, the boots. Right.
It's like, what hurt about it? I was like, you guys don't even know my own shoe size. What, like, what else don't you guys know about me? I'm your own son.
That was like when like the 60s, when they did like war bonds. It was like, in 50 years, this will be valuable.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I was like, well, it's an investment, I guess, these shoes. So there's a lesson here somewhere, but.
So
Jordans or like Velcro shoes?
No, they were like, they wouldn't even.
Were they like Wellington, like muck boots?
Probably LL Bean boots. Like,
yeah, like little slip-on LL Bean boots or something. I don't know. Yeah. I'm blocking them out at this point.
But. Yeah, you're.
Kyle's still got them. Kyle's walking to the closet right now. Like they finally fit. So y'all listen, man. This is my mom. My mom was like a combination of your dog, Scotty, like part Chihuahua, part short-haired pointer, part pit bull. And like, which, you know, really, I mean, look at me, right? Like, I can tell stories about my mom from now until the end of time. But I had, it was the first Christmas that I brought Tina over. And we hadn't been dating very long. But I knew that, like, I knew she was the one. Just boom, bang, bing, right off the bat. Knew she was the one. And I had informed my parents, like, please, you know, keep the fireworks to a minimum. Whiskey sours, like, not so much maybe this year. Maybe just two blenders of them, you know. And, you know, it was just kind of begging them, like, just please, you know, don't. This one's different, right? So we get to opening some presents, and my mom was very thoughtful when it came to Tina, you know, always, you know, very doting and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I was 29, 28, 30, something like that. And 28 probably. And, so, you know, you're really not expecting, you know, 28 years old, you're not expecting presents. So I got a couple of presents and, you know, opened one and it was like a belt or something like that, you know, whatever, you know, just typical stuff. And then I see one and I'm like, what the hell is that? It's like this perfectly like little square box. And I open it up. Effing Rogaine. My mom got me Rogaine. And she was like, yeah, you guys can laugh it up. And I was like, ma. Like, I ain't using this. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going bald, I'm just going to go bald. Like, I ain't putting stuff in my hair. And I'm like, and by the way, this pretty little girl sitting next to me, like, she doesn't need to see that shit. Right? You know what I mean? Like, well, like, you thank God you didn't get me, like, anti-itch cream or something. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only thing that could have been worse. But, yeah, my mom got me Rogaine when I was, like, and the funny thing is, like, I got the same hairline. I'm 52 and I got the same damn hairline I had when I was 29. So there, mom. And I never used it. And I was just because, like,
you've been using the Rogaine. That's what.
Yeah. She got me hooked, man. So that was so now we've got the embarrassing stuff. Cody's got a robot dog that doesn't work. Scotty's got a real dog that doesn't work. And Kyle had shoes that he had to put in a closet for 7 years until he could fit into them. And I got anti-balding stuff. So there you go. There's around the world. The best present I got was also from my mom. And you know, we had moved in Tennessee. We had moved to a neighborhood with several ponds in the neighborhood. And the Bass Pro Shops catalog, I was probably 9 years old, and the Bass Pro Shops catalog was like my Bible. I wore that thing out. You know, it's probably the second or third Bass Pro catalog. And they had this little plastic boat that had two plastic seats and a front, a bow and a stern trolling motor mount. You could run the electronics through it and everything.
A little mini pontoon
thing, man. And I circled that thing. That thing came out in the summer and I circled it and I said, I don't want nothing. I don't want, and this, you know, it was like $500, man. It wasn't like, you know, shit, what I'm spending on Christmas, even adjusting for the dollar and inflation. It wasn't that much. So I just said, man, that's all I want. It's all I want. Don't get me nothing else. I don't want anything else. This is what I want. And Christmas came, Christmas went. There wasn't much. And then my mom took me out to the window, and there was a 12-foot cardboard box with my little pond prowler in it. And as God is my witness, with all the boats that I have owned, all the fishing vessels, everything that I've had to catch fish on, if you added them all up there, I've not caught as many pounds of fish as I have on that goofy ass little pond. I spent so many hours on that thing. I caught so many fish and so many memories. So if you're up there listening, Mom, I forgive you for the Rogaine, and I appreciate my little plastic pontoon boat. And it, I got to tell you, it died an unceremonious. So I was probably in my early 20s. I had worn that thing out to where like the plastic was getting thin on the bottom, like real thin. And it was kind of starting to leak a little bit. So I had tried to melt it back together, and that didn't work. So I just busted out the old duct tape, and you could kind of move back and forth on it, and you could hear the water sloshing around in it. You know, to put a second person on it, it would go real slow, and had to like drain it for like 25 minutes. And man, that one day we were fishing, and just heard a crack. And I was like, we're in trouble. And made it back and got the battery off and got the trolling motor off, and that thing sunk like an effing rock. And that was it. I couldn't even move it. Had so much water in it, weighed so much in there. It's probably still sitting there in that pond. It's
probably just good bass structure now.
I was gonna say, but crappie are probably spawning on it. A couple of catfish are work their way into the pontoons. But that was the best Christmas present I ever got in my life.
Well, I thought you were going to say that was when you said you caught the most fish by pounds out of it. I thought you were going to say it was your favorite boat ever. And I was going to say, you probably not say that too loud, because your wife's probably in the other room. She'll be having you downsize back to the pond prowler here soon.
You know what, dude, with the amount of fish here, I'd probably be doing better with the pond prowler. It's probably a good decision, to tell you the truth.
Pond prowler stocks are going to be at an all-time high as the striped bass stock goes down low.
Dude, I picked up a thing, a attachment for my tractor at Tractor Supply a couple of weeks ago, and they had one of them leaning there on the wall, and I was so tempted. I was so tempted to buy it and just throw it in the back of the truck and be like, this is what I'm getting AJ for Christmas. But then I got the list of where he wants to travel across the world. Yeah. I was like, yep, well, that is.
Like, well, I need a sweater for my coastal travels to the Amalfi Coast.
And you're like, yeah.
Tell him, say, hey, it's going to take you a while, but here's your boat to get there. Yeah.
Better get a lithium battery.
Scotland's a fur piece. Good to go. Charge the battery for the trolling motor, yeah, son. So, Scotty, what was the best thing? What was the thing that you just sticks out to you and you're like, holy moly?
I don't know,
Santa, man. Does exist.
That's a hard one. Like you, I got a trolling motor. I had a little John boat. We grew up on a lake in Columbia, and I had a little John boat that we paddled around. And I think that first year I got a trolling motor, and I had a boundary. You know, my parents like, all right, you can go to that set of islands by yourself. And just those early exploratory days by yourself. I mean, as a little kid, I mean, I would not let my son go that early as my parents did me. That's got to be up at the top. Also got a shotgun way too young. So I guess my dad thought it was time for me to have a shotgun, and I couldn't shoot it. They videotaped me shooting a couple of times. It would plain knock me over where I'd drop the gun. You know, I think I was probably 8 maybe for that.
Yeah. I got a single shot 410 when I was 8.
Yeah. You know, I got a pump, same deal. They kick harder than semi-autos. So
sure.
I got hit with that. And I remember my mom yelling at my dad's dad, my granddad, one year for buying me a circular saw. And I think I was in kindergarten. I still have it. It's giant. I mean, it's a giant metal box, like an old Black & Decker corded circular saw. I still have it. And I think it might be the first, and it's not the only, but it was definitely the first cuss word I ever heard my mom say was, why the fuck did you buy this kid a saw, you know?
I feel like while other families were shopping from the Sears Roebuck catalog, your family was looking at like a commercial hazards and OSHA safety. Like,
oh yeah.
No, guns are a big thing. I would have, if I didn't get that little pontoon thing, I got the single shot 410. I got a 22 when I was like 7.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what you should get 7-year-olds, 22s, not 20 and 12 gauges. We're too
Yeah, first time you pull the trigger on a 12-gauge pump, you remember it when you were a kid. Oh, yeah. You get kicked by a donkey.
Scotty's grandkids are going to get like a Barrett 50 cal when they're 6 years old. It's just going to keep getting worse.
And a ghillie suit for their birthday and the 50 cal for Christmas. So, Kyle, bring honor back to your mom. What was he the just best put thing the you boots on?
Yeah, totally. Now that my feet are nice and warm here in the winter of Maine. No, yeah, it's funny because I used to take Christmas very literally as a kid. So I was like, all right, Santa's up there in the North Pole. What's up north? So on my Christmas list as a kid, for the first probably from 4 until 10 was like mountain snow leopard, Arctic fox, you know, because it was like Santa is up there in the North Pole. He's got to have, like, I'm not going to ask him for toys. I'm just
polar bear, for, musk yeah, ox,
polar bear. Like, all my, like, the first, like, three or four things on my list every year were some kind of an animal that lived in northern Siberia or something. So I didn't really have my parents set up to succeed on the best gifts ever, but
that's why you got those damn boots.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, they're probably Arctic fox leather or something.
That's probably why you got into fly tying. They kept bringing you all these dead animals from foreign countries. Yeah. Hey, what am I going to do
with this? Scotty, he's got the market on snow leopard covered, man.
God, I know. I wasn't really aware of the Endangered Species Act at that age. But
Cody, yeah, Cody, I mean, what did you got a snow leopard, Kyle? That was your number one or what?
Well, I would say, I mean, I'm like remembering things like Scotty, you know, getting tools. I remember my dad just kitted me out and like, or like old tools that he had, stuff that had meaning, like an old hand plane, just, you know, just stuff that you're going to have forever and you're going to pass on to your kid. I mean, that's the stuff that really hit for me.
Yeah.
Cody?
So I was trying to think and I was like, I like generally, I've never been a huge holiday and gift person. So generally I was like, I don't really even freaking know. I could think of like one or two like little toy things, but I actually texted my mom to the side. I say, hey, I'm recording a podcast. What would you say is the best gift I've ever gotten? And her first answer was really true, which was, I was probably going to do the math real quick. I was about to turn 6. So I was 5 at the time, a couple months away from 6. And I got, from my grandmother, we got a golden retriever puppy. Oh, and man. I had that golden retriever for 17 years. She passed away when I moved across the country to go work for Costa. And actually, we thought she was going to pass away. She was in really horrible shape. She was 17 at the time. And I flew down to like, quasi get an interview for Costa, and she like held on for a couple more days and then passed away the moment I got home. We took her in like the next day or whatever. So, but the long, not to get depressing, the long story short was like, that was my dog and that was what made me a dog person. And like, as all y'all know, I have like I'm all about German Shepherds. I have my dream dog right now, 100-pound horse dog, German Shepherd out in the living room. But that just started a lifetime of like, I knew I would get a dog the moment I was stable enough to have my own dog, and I'll have a dog until I leave this earth. You know, I'm hoping that, you know, I'll have each one as long as I can, and I'll have one until I no longer can anymore. So that's definitely the dog gift, hit that off, and I'll never not have a shepherd.
You know how I got my first dog, like my, that was my dog. My parents went on vacation. That's how I got it. And I had always wanted, you know, the whole, everything was hunting and fishing for me since I was a kid. And I got a call from one of my friends, and one of the local vets had taken possession. Somebody had brought a Weimaraner puppy that was like six months old, and they just beat the brakes off of it. And he had like all sorts of things. I didn't want to talk about it. And they were like, hey man, didn't you say you wanted a Weimaraner for a hunting dog? Man, I got it. It's like the perfect Weimaraner here from like a real bad abuse thing. and they're fixing to take him to, like, you know, animal control. But the guy took him to the vet and they just said, you know, give us the dog so we don't press charges against you, kind of thing. And I hopped in my car and I drove to the vet and I said, I will take him. And he lived 17 and a half years. And that was, I got him when I was 19 and he died when I was 37. I don't know. Long time.
Yeah.
Had that boy along. He, the boy went to college with me, everything. That was my sidekick. So I feel you. There you go. Oh my God. Look at little Cody.
I know. I look like little Justin Bieber. I look like a mini J Biebs.
Is that P. Diddy in the back?
No, sorry. Yeah. Second best gift I got was baby oil.
Oh, are you on an island? Why is everybody wearing white? That's weird, yeah. Cody. Don't show that picture to nobody else, man.
Well, I will say you just inspired me to tangent off real quick with a dog story. But it's like when the world went crazy, I was working remote at the time for Costa and living actually at one of my coworkers' mother's house. And she was super laid back. They'd been very, you know, welcoming and helping us out when the world was like all messed up and we didn't know where everyone's jobs are going or whatever. And someone that I worked with texted me this photo, like a pet finder link. I don't know if anyone's ever seen those. It's just like from shelters.
Oh, I've seen thousands of them.
Yeah. Your wife texts you another one. Yeah. Yeah. This one's cute too. And we can save them, you know, but she texted me this link and she always used to send me different ones. And I'd be like, yeah, that one's cute. And we kind of move on with my life. And I got the photo of baby Yukon. And he was 3 months old. He was like 21 pounds already. And he looked like Scooby-Doo. One ear was up, one ear was down. His tongue was hanging out to the side. And I was like, that's my German Shepherd. And I was talking to my roommate. I got approval to go get him. I'm like, I'm doing it. I'm driving. He was in Texas. He was on they found him on a ranch outside of Houston. And I was like, talking to my roommate. And he said, oh, if you wait till next weekend, I'll take the drive out with you. We'll do a road trip, take some photos, whatever. And there's something about it. I was like, I don't know. I'm not waiting until next weekend. And I left the next day and I drove straight to Houston, picked him up and drove straight back. And it was kind of a crazy story because the rest of his litter, minus like one other dog, died of distemper like a week and a half later. So if I had waited any longer to go get him, but I don't know. Just felt like sharing. Like that was my version of, you know, that's my dog. You can just tell when that's your dog and you're like, I'm going to get him. And I haven't looked back now. I got my purpose.
Yeah, I love shepherds. I think dogs make us better people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what are like all those like
cliches? Well, if I got three of them, so if I didn't have any, could you only imagine?
Yeah.
What I would be.
You'd be recording this podcast alone.
Behind bars. So, Kyle, did you ever get out what your best present was?
Yeah, I kind of went with old tools.
Old tools, so, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just, yeah, just kind of this. And also, I mean, also since you guys know my mom, I mean, she would always give me some cool piece of art that she made. You know, it might have been something that she made 20 years ago. I just feel like every year she had some cool little sentimental gift that, like, I will have forever and pass on. So I think in a nutshell, my favorite.
Did she give you a statue of Rogaine?
Yeah. Did she carve a statue of Kyle?
Like a balding man.
Yeah, yeah, like a glass. The guy's like this with his fingers and with the two blades of hair he has left on his head. Yeah.
I feel like it's cool to get sentimental gifts from your mom.
My mom probably would have commissioned that, Kyle, if she'd known. Right.
It totally.
They lived in the same damn neighborhood. So
together on that.
The sentimental art gift is definitely way better when your mom is a very talented artist.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Sure. Like we got like a handwritten card. You got like some like, you know, striper out of like blown glass that has like, you know, some incredible thing.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, like for instance, like the bracelet that I just took it off, but you know, it's like a striped bass rib cage bone that my dad caught in like a 50 pound striper in like the middle of the 70s, you know, and like they kept that fish and she took out the striper bones, the rib bones, and made these cool bracelets out of it. And she's, she's still slinging them, and I still wear them, and it's cool. It's a fish my dad caught and something my mom gave to me, and just the way her brain works, she's like, I'm gonna take this fish apart and cast this rib, dry this rib cage bone out, and yeah, I appreciate that.
Well, that's when you know someone's actually a talented artist, where they can have that idea in their brain and then just do it. Like, I have ideas in my head, and then I go to draw, and it, like, you know, it looks like my dog of 17 years drew it. So this is probably a good transition, Tony. Well, I was going to plug it, make sure I plug it right. But if anyone needs a good gift idea, maybe we hop into some gift ideas, whether serious or funny or anywhere in between. But Kyle's mom is an outstanding artist, and I want to make sure – what's the website? It's TafSchaeferDesign.com, right? So TafSchaeFer Design.com. So if anyone's listening this far and needs a good gift idea, everything from ladies to guys and everything in between, belt buckles and fit, all sorts of insane stuff. So definitely a
good gift. I'll tell you what, I needed a belt. One of my belts kind of wore out, and I was like, wait a minute. This is like a month ago. I'm like, Kyle's mom makes those awesome belts. So I hopped on and I found one as a bonefish eating a crab, and I got it within a couple of days of me ordering it. I think she probably put it in the mail the next day. And, I bet you I'll have that belt until I die. It's some of the nicest leather I've ever seen. It's all hand done. So, you know, I will throw a plug in there too. And there's plenty of other stuff, you know, Cody, I don't want to turn this into an advertisement for us, but there's a ton of stuff on our website. And the fun thing about, if you buy any small stuff like a hat or a shirt or whatever, that's all going to go to some project that we're doing, like Albie's or the upcoming Jack project, all that kind of fun stuff. But, you know, I guess one of the questions that I wanted to ask y'all was not, I mean, I know all of y'all pretty good. So I know what you would, I bet you $1 million, each one of you, I know what you would say if I said, if you get one Christmas gift. So I'm not going to ask that. But what I will ask is that if you had one wish for Santa for the fish, for what we do every day, and you could snap your fingers and Santa'd give you the one wish for the fish, what would it be? For the fish that you love, because they're all doing shitty. You know, yeah. Scotty's redfish in South Carolina, Kyle's stripers, Cody's jacks and albies and tarpon and everything else he catches. What's the one wish if you could ask Santa and you know you'd get it for Christmas? Not related to your families or how I know every single one of you'd give your wish away to the people that you love. But if you had one selfish one about the fish, what would it be?
All right, I'll go first. I would wish that good old Saint Nick, I'm going to get emotional for a sec, spiritual, could give the courage to the people who do care about the fish and do support the stuff we do, but are maybe a little bit too nervous to get involved in the stuff. I wish good old Saint Nick would give them the courage to step up. It's amazing how when you do this stuff, how many people say, we love everything you do, it's all good, yada, yada, but they're a little bit nervous to step into the arena and to speak up. So I'd hope that old Saint Nick could pass along a little bit of coverage or a little bit of courage for those people to, you know, enter the arena. Cause we've all seen it. I'm sure Tony's seen it more than the other three of us combined, but like when people speak up for the first time, they give the first public comment, they participate at some event or in some way, like how proud they are right after. It's such a fulfilling thing. I mean, shit, I remember Tony, maybe I'm throwing him under the bus, but even when Blaine was speaking in Louisiana, how nervous you, Blaine's been around the world and back, spoke in front of hundreds of people about how to tie everything under the sun and whatever, all the videos he's done, all the brand campaigns, and he was super nervous about, you know, speaking up in front of the Senate and the Senate chambers in Louisiana. and how stoked he was and proud and engaged and how lit up he was after. So I'd say a little dose of courage for everyone to take the leap and the rewards they would feel after that. I think that would pay its way forward in spades for all of our fishermen.
From your lips to God's ears, Scotty.
That's kind of where my head was at too, Cody. Kind of that more people would not only be aware of like the issues in their own backyards, but to have the courage to speak up and to, you know, join up with people like us and speak up about it. You know, you can, like you said, you can pat somebody else on the back till you're blue in the face, but unless you're supporting them or staying there fighting with them, it's kind of an empty fight. But yeah, I would love to see more people just aware of organizations like us and aware of the problems, you know, not only in their own backyard, because, you know, all of us travel to fish, so my backyard is pretty big. But yeah, I'd like more people to get involved like that. I think you nailed it.
Well,
Kyle,
I'm going to say, you know, you gave a silver bullet, so I don't want to give too easy of an ask, you know, I mean, because it would be abundance across the board for all of us. And just having that predictability, because I think a lot of us in this room are, you know, we're advocates, we're working in this space of trying to repair these fisheries and keep them intact. And but, you know, at the end of the day, we've got a lot of work to get there. So, I mean, I just, you know, kind of spanning this as a business person too, as a guide, as a lodge owner, I mean, predictability is just the scariest thing, I think, for all of us. Like, can we do what we love to do still, both professionally and personally, and what we get out of, so, you know, what we get out of it emotionally. But, you know, and I just hope that we, I think my real ask though is that ASGA keeps growing, and that our strength keeps, you know, keeps multiplying, and we keep having a big impact. Super, super proud of this team and proud to be a part of it. I want to just see it keep rolling.
Y'all want to hear mine? I wish that for one day we could roll back time to about 20, 25 years ago. And I wish all these kids who, you know, have that passion and love fishing and think that it's so awesome what they're seeing today could have 24 hours to see what we knew. Because then I think that would make Cody's wish come true. And it would make Scotty's wish come true, because it would smack them right upside the head and they'd be like, holy mackerel. Like, this, they weren't lying. This is what it was really like. This worth fighting for. I deserve to see this in my life. So I wish beyond words that we could just turn back the hands of time. And everyone could remember, so it doesn't, or everyone could see it firsthand for 24 hours. And then they would understand why we feel the way that we do. Because to them, this is what they know. But to us, some days it ain't even worth going, because we saw it when it was really special. And that goes across the board. You could go across this country and you ask anyone, is the fishing better today, or was it better 10 years ago or 20 years ago? And I give you $100. If you can find somebody in a major fishery that says it's better today than it was 20 years ago. So I really think that would light a fire under a lot of these people and make them see why we are so, you know, single-minded and focused in our approach. Because I'm telling all you younger people, it was something pretty special, you know. And when you go fishing and you see a school of 500 redfish And then you go fishing and you see a school of five redfish. And you know that's the best you got. Or you used to go out and catch, you know, thousands of stripers in a year and you catch 10. And it's kind of like, I wish people could see it, because I think that would make them fight a lot harder. So that would be my wish.
Yeah, I mean, that ties in perfectly, depending on when this launches. But today, on Monday, December 2nd, we launched the second chapter of our ASJ brand campaign. And the first one was called Our Guiding Light, was based up in Maine. And the second one, based kind of more in southern New England, Rhode Island, Massachusetts. But it's called Our Love Story. And it's like based around, if you love what you do, you never work in a day in your life, but only when you love something can you actually mean to fight to protect it. And ties in perfectly what you're saying, Tony, is like those experience. How many more people would fall in love if they could see what things used to be? I struggle with that stuff. I try to honestly not think about that concept sometimes because it upsets me, because, like, you know, there's two ways I could look at it, which is I may never see it the way it was, but the way I try to internalize it in a positive way is like, maybe I'll have the time being younger to at least see what we can get it back to if we do start to, you know, so I at least have time on my side on that way. But it can be kind of tough to think about what used to be and what I might have been born a little too late to experience. But it really, the whole converting that into fighting to protect it is really all based off of love and a love story. So if anyone hasn't, is listening and hasn't seen our second brand campaign, go show it a little love on social or share it with someone if you can.
So get to one of the reasons why, you know, we decided to do this podcast late at night to get it out as quickly as possible. You know, we got a lot of stuff coming up. So, you know, today is Monday, the 2nd. So the 3rd, that technical committee stock assessment subcommittee report is going to be published on Striped Bass. And then they're going to have the informational webinar to review it on the 5th. And then comments have to be submitted, I guess, by 5 p.m. on the 10th. And then the meeting is going to be on the 16th for stripers. And, you know, I'm just going to tell y'all like it is. I know there are pods of fish sitting in certain places right now. I know some people had stretches of decent seasons. And I also know that winter is coming for stripers, because we see it first here. Because this is where I live, is where all the babies are born. And there aren't any. So, you know, we got to hold what we got. And we got to make sure there's enough females around when they can spawn. They do the best they can, and they start repopulating this iconic species. So, y'all, we got, you know, today's the 2nd. 14 days, that meeting's 2 weeks from today. And we got to put as much pressure on the good commissioners. We got to shine some light on the bad ones. Because lot depends on this, and whatever happens in this meeting, we're going to be stuck with it until probably the benchmark in 2027. So, you know, like Cody said, look at that video, get y'all excited about what we love, get you geared up for this, the information that's coming out on stripers. And, you know, we understand how hard it is to speak up and participate. And that's why we do these letters, to give you an opportunity to put your name on it, your Herbie Hancock on it. And that was a joke. Nobody's laughing. I guess nobody watched Tommy Boy. Shit, man. So put your Herbie Hancock on it and be part of the solution, because we know how hard it is to kind of overcome that little hump, that little bump in the road. So, Scotty, good luck with your mongrel.
Yeah.
Best of luck to you. I hope it doesn't eat anything and require a emergency vet visit between now and Christmas.
Well, we had a pet insurance on him too, and they canceled us after the second visit.
What did they say? How do you get your
pre-existing conditions?
Here's my little angel. She's just a ray of sunshine in my life, my Rip. So they canceled insurance. What do you have insurance for if you don't use it? Why'd they cancel it?
I know. It's a liability, man.
They said this one's not an ROI positive investment for us. Oh, Lord. Well, I know I got my Christmas gifts all covered. I'm going to send Scotty. I'm going to make Scotty's dog disappear. No, with the animatronic dog from my childhood. And then I think I'm just going to send Kyle all my old rusty tools that I need to replace.
Thank you.
And then Tony, I'm just going to send him, I don't even know, maybe a visor to show off whatever that Rogaine grows. And we're going to be in good shape, boys.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man, I'm making fun of my hairline. So, Kyle, just, you know, voltage test those tools before you plug them in. They have a tendency to go pow if you let them sit around for too long. Those old plug-in ones.
Wear your rubber insulated boots from your childhood.
Dude, I have this saw from the 70s, a radial saw, a Craftsman radial saw in my garage. Man, I'll send y'all a picture of it. It is probably the most dangerous power tool God ever invented. There's 100 ways to kill yourself with it and one way to use it right. Like, I can't even tell you. Like, you look at it and you're like, is that, like, did they used to cut people's hands off with that? And you're like, yes, they did. I think it's been recalled so many times, I may have one of the last ones in the world. But it had like this U arm on it, and you could move it and tilt it in every different direction on God's green earth. And you look at it and you're just like, I don't know about this. Like, when you turn it on, man, you're like, I don't know. I think I saw this in the
on wheels without brakes too, for some reason.
Dude, it looks like something straight out of Mad Max, dude.
Sounds like something Scotty's parents would get him when he was like 4.
Yeah, Scotty, I was going to say, man, I think you got it for your 6th birthday. I might have gotten the hand-me-down from you.
Yeah, I don't think there's a safety feature on this one.
Yeah, Scotty got the only 410 without a safety. Just didn't come with one. It was one of the Woolworths.
It was loaded in the 410s. Box.
Yeah, it's just
Sears.
Just came loaded in the box, no safety. You know what I mean? Just the instructions were pointed away from your head. That was it, you know? Well, listen, y'all, thanks for hopping on. We're going to shut this down now. The next podcast you'll hear from us is a rapid reaction to the I'll probably end up just staying up late and just doing it by myself because it's painful, but I'll do a rapid reaction tomorrow night to the paperwork, the report from the TC and the SAS, and we'll start pulling that apart and get that letter out as soon as we can. As always, we thank you for joining us and giving you a little glimpse into our incredibly messed up lives. Scotty, you feel like, I kind of feel like me and you are the messed up ones.
100%.
Like if you listen to this podcast, Cody's like, I got a golden retriever when I was 6. And Kyle's like, my mom's up, she gave me priceless works of art. And I'm like, I blew my finger off because my mom gave me a stick of dynamite for, you know, my 4th birthday. And Scotty's like, I got a shotgun and it hurt.
me and Kyle organized these for therapy. It's honestly to make us feel a little bit better.
I feel so good of going into the holidays.
It's like when you got the weird kids in the cafeteria and you made them fight in the hallway and filmed it. That's what we're doing.
Right, totally. Now, Scotty and I would have fought for a fucking pack of I don't know, what are those blow
new blades for your
like
table.
We were 6. Fought to the death, like hitting each other with the butt of a shotgun and a radial saw. Yeah, Scotty, I got you, man. I know, we'll just ignore the normies and we'll get on a podcast and just be like, this is why we're messed up. Right. That'll be the next one after the rapid reaction.
It's a long laundry list for me.
Well, all right, guys. Thank you all for joining. And we'll see everyone next time on The Guidepost.
All right. See you good people.